If you don't know an older person living in an adult care facility, chances are you will at some point. New York's population is aging, and many people need the services assisted living facilities provide, but don't need or want the much more expensive experience of living in a nursing home. Unfortunately, that may be the only option for recipients of SSI, the Supplemental Security Income. Joining us to explain why is Jim Kane Jr., a former president of the Empire State Association of Assisted Living and a current board member. Jim, it's great to see you. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
So this is something that's sort of close to you personally. At one point, you owned 14 assisted living facilities, and now you only own 8 because the other 6 closed. Why did they close?
That's correct. We are a small family-owned and operated business. We've been in this business since 1972, and as you said, at one point we had 14 facilities, all small, all rural, all upstate New York, and simply stated, it was a lack of funding. The SSI rate has not kept up with the cost of doing business, and for small facilities that don't have any other source of revenue, it became impossible to keep them open. So over the last 8 years, we've closed 6 of them to our current level of 8.
Where have the people that depended on you, where have they gone?
So in most cases, they are people that can't go back home because they need 24-hour supervised care. So for us, in the beginning, we were able to move some of them to our other facilities, but in a lot of cases, they were forced to go to nursing homes.
Which are more expensive.
Which are much more expensive.
Which we're going to get to in a moment. But the link between SSI, Supplemental Security Income, and the closure of adult care facilities. Tell us about the link there.
So in a straight licensed adult care facility, the only option is to either charge a person privately or to accept what they call the SSI Level 3 payment. The state of New York sets that rate. And it's currently $1,235 a month or $41 a day. It has gone up only once in the last 10 years. That was in 2007, and before that it was another 15 years. So it's been about 25 years with one rate increase. And as a result of that, it's just impossible to provide the services we provide on that payment.
So let's talk about the numbers. It costs a resident to have nursing home care, something between $150 and $250 a day. How much does it cost you to support a resident who is at an assisted living facility?
So on average, the cost is about $70 a day. And again, we're receiving $41 a day. So you can see
there's a
tremendous
$29 or $30 difference per day per person who is at the assisted living facility, yet it's going to cost double that to live in a nursing home.
Correct.
It'll cost the taxpayers double that.
It'll cost the taxpayers, yes.
Okay, so a little short-sighted on the part of the state, perhaps?
Well, we think so. We have had this argument and discussion with, you know, people at the Department of Health and with the state legislature for years and years about that, and we believe we're the most cost-effective level of care for long-term care that exists in the state of New York, and yet there is that disconnect between the cost if everybody goes into a nursing home versus expanding and promoting our level of care.
Right. Okay, so why is it that assisted living is paid for specifically by SSI and not by some else like Medicaid?
Well, I guess that's a question you'd have to ask the state legislature and government and the Department of Health. I mean, many, many, many years ago, we were considered part of a county facility, so we were governed and regulated by counties, not by the state, and through Department of Social Services, and just over the years, we moved to the Department of Health for our regulations, but the rate payment has always stayed with Social Services.
All right, and why does the state say it hasn't increased SSI? For 10 years.
Yeah, so that's another question I guess you'd have to ask them more specifically. But when we talk to them, every single senator, every assembly member, everybody we speak to recognizes the value of our level of care. And I've never once had anyone say to me, geez, you know, we don't think it's a very good level of care. We don't think you deserve a raise. Every single person's been supportive, and yet we've been unable to get a rate increase. Usually they say it's just a simple budget matter where they have to make cuts and the budget is tight and we end up being odd person out.
All right, so this is budget week. You know, if everything goes according to plan and we have a budget with the appropriate 3 days aging period, we'll have a budget by Wednesday, tomorrow, right? What is it that you would ask of lawmakers? And who have you spoken to about this?
So what we're asking is for a $20 a day increase from $41 to $61 a day. We asked that amount because even though it may not completely cover our cost, it would be a far greater rate than we get currently and would help a lot. We have got the Senate, who's been on our side for the last couple of years, to put in their One House bill a rate increase. This year they've put in $20 we've asked for in their One House budget bill. And
with the help of Senator Sue Sereno?
Senator Sereno has been one of the leading senators. Senator Little and a number of other senators have certainly supported us, and again, it is in their One House bill.
Well, what about the Assembly?
So on the Assembly side, we've had a struggle in the last few years to get them to add anything to their One House bill. This year, for the first time ever, with the help of Assemblyman Brindisi, who's been a champion of ours for a number of years, we have gotten them to put in their One House bill $5 per day. Certainly a far ways away from the 20, but for us it's a start, and at least we now have a fighting chance.
But yeah, you can sort of smell a compromise there at some point. And no matter what, this was not going to equal the $20 a day that you need.
Correct.
But it's enough?
Well, you know, if you have a dollar in your pocket
actually,
today,
it's $30 that you need.
Well, it's 30 that we would like. We thought that was unrealistic in one budget year to ask for, so we compromised at the 20. And now we're trying to compromise to get whatever we can get and whatever the state of New York can afford to pay us.
I'm going to ask you another question that you probably won't be able to answer. Why has it been a struggle in the Assembly to get this increase in SSI?
Yeah, Assemblyman Brindisi has simply said to us, you know, keep fighting. I've been only one of the only champions standing up and yelling in conference. And this year there were more people that stood up, more Assembly members that stood up. And I believe we're a small industry. We're not we don't have the number of beds or the impact on the budget that other programs might have. And so I think that it just is one of those easy ones to miss or cut when it comes down to the final cut.
So how are these facilities different from nursing homes?
So they're more community-like, they're more residential-like. We are not skilled nursing, so it is really a personal care program. People can have private rooms, such as semi-private rooms. They can come and go as they please. They don't have to, you know, stay in the building. They can go out to dinner. They can still have a life within the community and have that sense of purpose and belonging. That you sometimes lose at a higher level of care.
So you don't provide skilled nursing?
Correct.
So why then would some of these people not be able to go home? That's what you said, that they would need full-time care.
Well, because they need that 24-hour supervision with other things. They may need 24-hour supervision with their medications. They need 24-hour supervision for when they have an issue. They may not be able to cook on their own, so we provide all the meals.
Toileting, getting dressed.
Toileting, bathing, dressing, grooming, right. All those things that they struggle with. And by providing that assistance, you keep them from decompensating.
Right, and ending up in a nursing home, which is more expensive.
Or in the hospital, or, you know, on the street, which sometimes happens when they can't afford to pay their bills. So a number of reasons why it makes sense.
Here in Albany, are there assisted living facilities that you can name?
Name in terms of
you
ones
know.
That are operating?
Yeah.
Or I have one in Scotia Mansion, right in Scotia, New York. I have one in Queensbury.
Any in Buffalo?
Yes, there's facilities in Buffalo. I mean, there's really facilities all over the state of New York. There's 200.
Also in New York City.
Right.
Okay. So this isn't an upstate, downstate issue.
This is a statewide issue. There's 270 facilities within our association alone.
Are they more expensive to operate in New York City?
I don't operate one there, so I think what's interesting is they're probably some of their costs are more expensive. The cost of labor is actually higher upstate than it is downstate in terms of not the minimum wage, but in terms of what it costs just to get someone to come and stay. I think it's supply and demand. There's more people in New York. There's more availability upstate. There's less people and more jobs. So it's a bigger challenge.
So what is your total ask? How much would this cost taxpayers?
So the $20 a day would be about $92-94 million a year.
All right. And what are you hearing from your friends in the legislature?
We are hearing that we have to keep up the fight, which is why I'm here today. It's in the bill. It's being negotiated, but we don't want to see it, you know, get pulled out at the last hour. And so they're saying, stay strong, stay with us, keep your voice in the news, and keep up the fight.
Can you tell us a story of anyone who's who you had in one of your facilities that closed, and what happened to them? I mean, you don't have to give us names, but just, you know, what happened?
Well, we have, I can't tell you what happened after they left us. I mean, I can tell you that closing a facility is tragic. I can tell you that.
What's tragic about it?
Tragic because they're losing their home. Our residents believe that this is their home, and some of our residents have been with us 15, 20 years, long periods of time, and so there's that loss of sense of family. There's that loss of their comfortable surroundings. And it is like anyone else who loses that sense of community that they had.
There are a couple of reasons why costs are going up, and that includes the cost of food. It also includes just the cost of providing health care for your employees. Mm-hmm. So in that regard, you're fighting the same fight that, say, nursing homes are. But this does save money in the long run.
This definitely saves money. You know, the concept is to be able to have people age in the least restrictive environment. And so to put someone in a nursing home that doesn't need to be in a nursing home at a cost far greater to the state, not only is a financial issue, but it's a quality of life issue as well.
We've been speaking with Jim Kane Jr. He's a former president of the Empire State Association of Assisted Living. He's also a current board member. He's also an owner of several assisted living facilities in upstate New York. For more information, you can go to ESAAL, that's Empire State Association of Assisted Living. Jim, what a pleasure. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
This program is presented by WCNY Syracuse.